stories where we talk about how we can hear things sometimes better in story than in just straight out. A number of people asked me about those stories, even had somebody borrow the books. And then last Sunday I shared my personal statement of faith. There's been requests for that. If you're interested, I've made a few copies, but we can always make more. I bring all that up because it encouraged me to share something else that's ought to be personal. Several years ago, I was in negotiations with Jericho Books, who publishes Brian McLaren, so probably some of y'all have books from Jericho, for a book deal. It was actually a really big book deal. And we got through the marketing board, we got through the readers board, we got through the executive board, and we were ready to sign it, and the lead company who owns it had just decided that they weren't going to be so progressive anymore. And so they put the axe on the book proposal, which is sort of funny because the parent company's name is Hatchet. that book never got published. The idea behind the book was, the title was Deep Lessons, What Christianity Can Learn From Myths. I'm a geek. I've been a geek my whole life. And that's a surprise, right? I was just seeing that there was several qualities about economic culture that could be very informative for the church. And if nothing else, much like I talk about those stories, it provides a softer way of talking about who we should be by doing it through the presentation of another culture. So, I wrote a proposal for Deep Lessons, and it didn't quite go through, so I decided, well, I was going to say with your permission, but it's too late now. I decided to share with you my final chapter from that book. It relates to a lot of things we do. So this is going to be weird. It's sort of a book reading for a book that never happened. And I've never just read the book thing to you. So, and every once in a while you hear me just like give us section titles. So that'll be a little awkward. But we'll see how that goes. I've divided it into two Sundays. So if you like it, you can come back next Sunday. And if you don't like it, you can put it off. Like I said, the title of the book was actually Deep Lessons, What Christianity Can Learn From the Church. And the title of the chapter I'm sharing with you is Be Prophetic Even If You Have to Use Metaphors. Open with a quote from the book of Matthew, and he told them many things in parables, as well as a quote from geek hero J.J. Abrams, who once said, when there's an authentic mystery, as opposed to just a question being asked, that's what makes you lean forward. Captain Kirk saved my life. I grew up in a small southern town in the 70s. And racism, sexism, and various other isms were all very much alive and kicking. Not just kicking, accepted and perhaps expected. It was, and still is, a thoroughly conservative town. For that matter, my family was, and still currently is, a thoroughly conservative family. One is left to wonder, or at least I'm left to wonder, what happened to me, that is. I spent a whole lot of my time talking about Indianisms and other liberal things. So how did that happen? Captain Kirk. That's how it happened. Well, Kirk and Spock and a whole cast of others, Uhura, Sulu, Bones, Scott, just a name. Of course, it was more than just them or the show, but somehow they are, for me, a good example of something from the geek culture that helped me become what I understand to be a better Christian. Better than you, or better than others, or better than I once was. Now, let's just think about that for a minute. I'm making the claim that a television show about a fictional voyage of fictional characters who were fictitionally told to boldly go where no man has gone before
change my life.
That's a pretty bold claim. And in its boldness, it deserves some attention because there are plenty of real life things that try to do the same for any number of us and fall short. It would be it'd be reasonable to make the argument that the church would be considered among the things that hope to change people's lives. And it would be equally reasonable to make the argument that the church increasingly fails to do so, which makes me want to give the statement even more attention. Now, as I mentioned, I could have named other geeky things that play a similar role, but Star Trek has a special place in my heart. You see, my first recollection of geeking out about anything was Star Trek, the original series. I'm not quite old enough to have watched it in its first 3-year run, but I did see it in its very first rerun. One of the things that I had come to love about it was the way it pushed us to new frontiers without bashing us over the head. Story and metaphor softened the blow of moral imperatives for a more fully functioning society based on equality. Being prophetic means speaking the sometimes difficult truths that have put more than a few prophets in personal peril, speaking those difficult truths to the present, as well as casting a vision for the future. It's important to read closely that last part of the sentence. It doesn't say predicting the future, which is frequently what people think the prophets do. We geeks are actually probably much to blame for this, with stories about predicting prophets from like Lord of the Rings Foundation, but the last line of the sentence says a lot. Being prophetic means to cast a vision for the future. A vision of how things should be and not necessarily how they are going to be. In an interview, Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry once said, I have no belief that Star Trek depicts the actual future. It depicts us. Now, things we need to understand about. That is being prophetic. From Roddenberry's own perspective, he was doing nothing more than looking at the realities of his time, putting them in a future context, and using the show to cast a vision for a better future. It changed my life. It changed my life. I suspect it changed the lives of quite a few of us. It's prophetic behavior within the framework of a metaphor. The truth hurts. Now, oddly, those kinds of truth can be astoundingly hard to hear. You might think, possibly even hope, that those truths would be some of the easiest things to hear. That's the same goes to truth hurts. Maybe not so much the truth itself, as much as the way the reality behind the truth can make us feel we've been flayed open and put on display for the whole world. Possibly it hurts because we really do want to be the best us we can be, and the truth frequently points to the reality of how frightening we should be all times. No matter the reason, the truth really can hurt, and those who want to affect change for the better need to remember as much. Surgeons just don't start cutting on folks without anesthesia because they discover a person needs an emergency appendectomy. And if they do, it's usually in the movie of the week, not real life. It's in real life, it's become weak. However, most of the time in real life, there's a lot that happens before things that make the cut less frightening and less painful. The point is, you need to administer some of that anesthesia, even if it's just localized, before you go to these things that might hurt. Even if you know the outcome is for the better. is where metaphor comes in. If being prophetic is speaking the truth, and if speaking the truth can sometimes hurt, we need to learn a lesson. And please note, I am not saying to make it more pliable or plastic, because at that point it can also be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And it wouldn't hurt anyway. So why bother packaging it all up in a metaphor in the first place? So, Star Trek, like so many things in the world of geek entertainment, spoke difficult truths about society and then imagined a better way for the world. While those kinds of truths can cut like a knife, it's amazing how much easier they are to handle when they're being told from the safety of a faraway land in a place that didn't really exist. For me, it meant my modern day reality felt much less important. I was able to accept it for what it was without feeling insulted or defensive about it. And so that's a reality that many science fiction and fantasy writers have known for some time now, from C.S. Lewis to Lewis Carroll, all understood it. If you want to talk about things that could make people uncomfortable, things that make them want to step back from a distance, see it from themselves from a distance, do it by using metaphor and storytelling. Make it a mystery of sorts. It even goes for what, make it a mystery of sorts. It even goes for what you're actually talking about. It's like a quote from J.J. Abrams at the beginning. When there's an authentic mystery, as opposed to just being asked a question, that's what makes you lean in. Just like that, from people wanting to step back, people wanting to lean in. And in a small way, that's what I was trying to do with the book that I was writing. Talking about how Christians aren't doing the things that they are supposed to be doing is not something that goes over very well with most of us. It calls us to lean in those changes. Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek was my first geeky experience of that reality. The crew who assembled weekly on the deck of the NCC-1701 Starship Enterprise looked unlike anything that I saw anywhere else in my childhood. It was comprised of people from various nations and ethnic lineage. Each of them were heads of their respective departments because of their abilities and because of what they could bring to the team. The captain, Kirk, showed each of them respect without regard to anything outside of their performance. This was a vision future that changed my perspective. This was a dream worthy of dream. Maybe Roddenberry, not Kirk. Growing up in the city limits of a small town in the South in the late 70s, it shouldn't be surprising to hear that racism was alive and well there in my childhood. What I saw of African Americans on television only served to reinforce the image that society was trying to teach me. All of the roles were stereotypical, which is to say that they were downright insulting. Star Trek was different. On the bridge sat Lieutenant O'Hara. She was an integral part of the team, a person of great intelligence. She also happened to be female and black. That simply wasn't done on television. This was very much prophetic, and I knew it from the first moment that I saw it, and I wasn't there. It turns out that after the second season, Michelle Nichols, who's the actress who played her, was offered her own Broadway show. And it was actually a dream of a lifetime for us, what she had always worked for. There were rumors at the same time that Star Trek was going to be canceled. And she made a decision to leave the show. She did. Then, in a happy little circumstance, she ran in to Dr. King. After turning in that letter, But as luck would have it, Dr. King was a trick. And one of her biggest fans. And in their conversation, he learned she had decided to quit the show, and Dr. King's response, "You cannot leave." He knew the importance of metaphor in telling difficult truths. Star Trek had cast a vision of what the world should look like, and in placing it in metaphor, the difficult truth not only felt safer, but even felt desirable and attainable. It made us lean forward into this dream. I imagine he would say it's not his dream, but God's dream, but it made us lean forward. So Nichols went back wrong with it. She was already going up there. And told him about her experience with Dr. King. With a tear in his eye, Roddenberry simply said to her, "Thank God."